Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene. And today we're going to talk about an introduction to adventuring with kids.
Right. So we're going to talk about how we make adventures for kids, things you have to consider, and everything from A to Z and that.
Really, it's just playing with kids and how to do it.
Right. So we have one son. He's now 14. But he has, you know, been in our house his whole life, obviously. And so even as a child, he would see my friends come over, and we would be playing role-playing games. And from the, very young age, he's, can I play? Those words came out of his mouth, even as young as three. He really wanted to, you know, and every kid wants to take part in what's going on with their parents or their parents' friends, right? And especially if it looks like fun and we're playing the game, right? We said, no, you know, you can't play, you know, because you're too young. At least Jolene.
He was two or three at the time.
Right. And some of my friends are kind of salty language and everything. But anyway, so even at a young age, he wanted to play. And my experience is that one of my failings as a GM was when my nephews wanted to play, and they were about 11 or 12 at the time. I kept saying, "Oh, you guys are too young," and so I wish because anybody who shows an interest in gaming, you know, I now take the idea that you should really, you know, bring them into the hobby, because it's a hobby I love. It's something that can really help a lot of people, you know, socially, in all kinds of ways. And, you know, my nephews, you know, later on got into a lot of trouble with doing things they shouldn't be doing. So, you know, and for me, that's what kept me at home, right? That's what kept me from going out and doing things that I shouldn't be doing, because I was happy at home playing role-playing games.
Not only that, but now that we're adults and older, and other gamers are adults and older, yes, from when we were kids and everybody started playing it. And some of them are a lot older than me, but that's okay. They've done actual studies on role playing and how that, or tabletop games, and how that it helps kids to develop and right. people to develop. Right. It helps you to develop your social skills and all kinds of different things like that. So it's not just, it can be a learning experience. Of course, it's really just a fun experience, but you learn while you're having fun.
Right. So playing with kids, it totally depends on your kid, right? It totally depends. And the kid for me is anybody from age,
four
to a young or even a teenager, right? You know, depending on maturity.
Although by the time they're teenagers, if they've been playing for a while, they're just regular role players.
Right, yeah. But it all depends on maturity. I was funny that I was trying to come up with the word maturity, and my son was just looking at me, and he's you talking about the word maturity. I go, yes, I am. Thank you for the help. So he's now 14, but when he was about three, he kept asking me to play, and Jolene would, no, you can't play with the big boys. So about age four, as soon as he knew how to count, right, basically, I basically decided, oh, you know what, I'm gonna come up with the simple rules. It was a little riff off of D&D. You know, he had three stats. You roll a die for every number that the stat was, and then you have to roll over 10 or whatever. It was something that he would like to roll dice, and it would help him count and stuff like that. So I ran a series of adventures, and they were like Aesop's Fables, right? It was because he was four, and I wanted it to be a good dad and not raise a murder hobo, which is a term I didn't know until much later. I thought it would be a good way of imparting lessons of a sort. And so his first adventure was really simple. It was to save a kidnapped princess, to coin Jolene's, you know, phrase for every adventure that she likes to run or wants to play in. And it was, you know, it was just me and him, and I would, you know, ask him, you know, I present him with a situation, and it was really neat. It was really fascinating, because he was really thinking. I came up with this idea that, you know, he would come across a troll that was ugly. He came across a hermit that was blind and was craving friendship. And so, you know, so he came up, and the troll was the one that had the princess. So he goes, well, you know, and the troll's lonely. This is the whole point of why he kidnapped the princess. And so he came up with the idea with putting these two people together, and they could help each other out. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's exactly what I wanted. It was a very proud moment for me. And he had a blast. He goes, let's play again. So a lot of my first adventures with him when he was four was very much along those lines. They were very simple, easy ideas that he could do at four years old.
Of course, then he went and told his friends that his dad was running an adventure for them, and that changed the whole dynamic of the game.
Well, I stave him off as long as I could, and so he was about, like I said, he was around four, and so by the time he was five, and he was entering kindergarten, actually he was already in kindergarten, he kept talking to his friends about playing the role-playing game, and they had a dad, that's our friend Steve, that was playing role-playing games with me and our other friends. And they were excited, right? They go, oh, yeah, that's pretty neat. And so even the dad called and says, oh, Steve goes, yeah, I was wondering if, you know, Ian and Alan could play with Augustine. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess. I was a little bit hesitant because I wasn't sure, you know, about their maturity level. Alan is the same age as Augustine, and Ian is 3 years older than both of them. And so what's funny is that they're born like 2 days apart, Ian and Alan. I mean, Alan and Augustine, my son, and their youngest son. And so I was really hesitant about, you know, adding them to the mix. And but, you know, I kept running a couple games. I didn't run it all the time, but he seemed to be having a good time. And then finally he asked, well, can Ian and Alan play? Because obviously they had talked to him. And so I go, okay. So I set up a game. By this time, they were they hadn't started looking at the Pathfinder book, so I brought him in
only because they didn't read yet. Yes. Except for Ian.
Yes. And so I brought him into the game. I used the same system, and it was a completely different dynamic. You know, when Augustine was by himself and he encountered something, he would usually talk to him and try to figure things out. But in the mob mentality, I guess maybe something's telling about our human nature. You know, they became motor hobos, right? Every time they came up against a situation, they would attack and kill it. I'm like, oh, wow, that was their way of dealing with things. And I'm like, man, this is kind of strange. I was kind of put off by it a little bit. So I would come up with a situation where they wouldn't be able to do that. You know, they would come up with a guard, you know, captains of guard, talk to somebody, you know, important who had bodyguards. And so I curbed that murder hobo-ish belief in them. And they've actually played really good.
He believes he curbed it.
I believe I did. I tried. How's that? So just a couple years later, you know, we had by this time we had transitioned from 3.0 to Pathfinder, I think. And so
wasn't it 3.5 to Pathfinder, or is Pathfinder?
Yeah, 3.5 to Pathfinder. And by this time, my son, who was about 6 or 7, was really learning how to read, and was learning how to read and was reading. And so he's picking up the Pathfinder book, and he's reading the Pathfinder book, and then he's coming to all kinds of stuff, you know, and oh, I can be this, I can do that. And I'm like, oh, wow. So he really became versed. By the time he was 10, he was well versed in Pathfinder. I was amazed because it was pretty amazing. Even by the time he was 8, I think he was really, you know, 8 and 9, he was just an expert on the whole deal. So there was motivation, right? He wanted to learn how to play. He wanted to play games. And
just so you know, the Pathfinder book is written for adults. So these three boys are literally reading this book, and their vocabulary is expanding. Yes. It was amazing to watch. It was this thing that I had never even thought about. But my son and his friends, when we got together, would literally get the monster manual, the player's guide, anything they could get their hands on, and they would sit in a little circle and they would talk to each other about what characters could do. And the Ian, who was 3 years older, was obviously reading better than the other two, but he would help them with words that they couldn't pronounce. So these kids at 6, 7, 8, 9 literally were reading the Pathfinder core rule book.
Right. And that thing's a huge book. I mean, I haven't read the Pathfinder core rule book, even though I was running games, and it was just my style of lazy fairy kind of running the games of not caring about certain rules. But they would always stop me and say, oh yeah, you can't do that, that the rule says it does this. I'm like, oh, okay. And Pathfinder is rules heavy, right? It, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, actions, partial actions, all kinds of weird crap like that. And you know, and, you know, crazy stuff like when do you get attack of opportunity, you know, if I take a 5-foot step, and all this crazy stuff. So but they knew it.
They knew it backward and forward. Yeah, they still really do. Did. And they love it. When 5th edition came out, they were all over it. They got those books out and did the same thing. Read it cover to cover, but, well, maybe not cover to cover. They definitely went with the weapons, what they could do, which classes they could be, and all that kind of stuff.
And most of the book is spells, so I'm sure they read a lot about the spells, which is weird because we were playing Pathfinder, and I was perfectly happy running Pathfinder. And one of my friends gave me a book, gave me the Player's Handbook for 5th Edition. And I literally didn't look at it. I don't want to get into another edition, buy a whole bunch of books. I have god-awful amount of Pathfinder books. And so I thought it was, you know, I wasn't sure I needed to move on. So my son, a few months after I got the book, goes, "Oh, when did you get this?" I said, "For my birthday." So he just started reading it. He goes, and then a few days later, he goes, "This is a really good system, Saul. Dad, you should really look at it." I'm just like, "Really?" And upon his recommendation, I started looking at it. And indeed, I was impressed with 5th edition. But anyway, so back to boys, right? Or back to kids. So we have a lot of boys in our family. Almost all boys of kids' age, right? And they range from,
they're all really close in age.
Yes. So gaming with them, they all have different personalities. My son coined a theme called Tarogi style after his cousin, who's a very angry character. He always had an angry character, and so he would do things that were just crazy, right? Like I would present him with a situation. One time when they were going against a dragon, a dragon happened to be in this vicinity, so they climb up. Being curious, they climb up and they see him sleeping, right? So my son Augustine and the other two boys go, "Okay, we're gonna leave him sleeping because he's a dragon, and we're not that high level." So Tarogi goes up to goes, he's a rogue, right, a dwarf rogue, and he's like, he's telling me he's going up to the dragon, and I'm thinking he's gonna steal something, right, from the horde or something. And I'm like, what is this kid up to? And so he gets really close to the dragon. Okay, how close are you going to get? As close as I can get, right up to his nose. I go, okay. So because I'm thinking, because I described the scene. And he goes, "Okay, what are you going to do?" "I'm going to punch him in the face." I just said, "There's no way you're going to punch him in the face. He'd eat you in one bite." He goes, "No, I'm going to punch him in the face." So I go, okay. So he punches him in the face, wakes him up. And then all the other boys are like screaming at him, going, "What are you doing?" So he runs away, and hilarity ensues after that. So again, you have different personalities, you have different maturity levels for each boy or for each kid, and when you're running a game, all those factors have to be considered, right?
And when you're playing with boys all the time, you get used to the fact that whatever you're going to encounter, unless there is a guard standing there or it's a dragon, they're going to try to either kill it or they're not going to talk to it first. Usually it's attack first, ask questions later.
Right. And so, we hate talking about boys all the time. But we did go to my friend's house up in Portland, and he has three girls, right? And unfortunately, he moved away from the Bay Area. And so we don't get to we don't get to spend a lot of time with them. But a few years ago, we went, me and my family, Jolene and Augustine went, and he really wanted to run a game for these girls and us. So we're playing GURPS, not necessarily a easy game to run, but it was really simple. He wasn't using a lot of the rules.
That it was totally different than playing with our boys.
Yeah, so it was a totally different experience. So he, Mike, he's my age, so he sets up the game for the adventurers, the group, to go out and do something. And so my son makes his character, he equips them and everything, and then they're like, they're asking questions about what to do and stuff. And so
you got to realize that these Augustine and Aaron, Mike's oldest daughter, are about 9 or 10.
They were I think Augustine was like 10 at the time,
so she's a little bit older than him.
She's like 6 months older.
So and then we were playing with her little sister and the littler sister,
right?
So
I forget what their ages were, but I think the youngest one was like 5 and another one was like,
yes,
7.
Yeah,
and then or 8. But they're pretty evenly spaced apart. But what was hilarious was that one of the girls wanted to do was ride her horse up and down Main Street, as fast as she could. And so she did that for like for like a lot of time. And the other girl wanted to do shopping, and Augustine wanted to shop, but he was very focused in his shopping, right? He goes, okay, I'm going to go to the weapon and buy this sword and go here and get this armor. And then he was done. And so it was hilarious because at one point my son is just like, you know, he has his hands in his face in his hands, and he's like, oh, he goes, can we just get on with the adventure? It was too much for him. And, you know, he toughed it out, and they finally, you know, got to the camp.
It was a very good experience for him because the girls actually wanted to investigate things, talk to people and things like that. Whereas, you know, he was used to playing with guys that were, you know, let's go kill it and then we'll figure out what we're supposed to do with it.
Well, by this point, you know, he was already, he already had, you know, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years of playing games, you know, of playing role-playing games. And he was, you know, I won't say he was an expert, but he knew quite a bit. And so, you know, he knew how adventures worked. You know, you get information, then you go and do stuff. But the girls wanted to do all kinds of things that he thought was like was a waste of time, you know. And so, because I think he said that a couple of times, and I was playing too, but I was like, hey, you know, the girls, this is their first time; they've never done it before, and you know, they're having their fun their way. So, you know, we talk about our boys all the time, and that includes our friends' kids and my brother's kid, and we definitely have a skewed view of kids playing, right? Because they're all boys. They all, you know, exhibit that type of mentality, whatever you want to call it.
It could be because we gave them wooden swords from the time they were two or three and let them go outside and play with each other.
Yes, that's true. And there's a huge collection of wooden
armaments. Of course, girls also like wooden swords. Trust me, they like those, especially when they come over and they go, we get to play with these with the boys? They have a lot of fun too.
Yes, as long as they don't get hurt. So it definitely depends on your kid. What kind of game you're going to set up.
So when you're running a game for kids, there's lots of things you take into consideration. One, you have to know who the kids are. Sometimes you don't. Like if you're running a game at a convention, they always want people to run games for kids at conventions because it's very important to keep so the kids can play.
And to grow the hobby, right? You're talking about people who have kids and they probably want to go play. And they, you know, our conventions here have kids rooms. And so it's really neat to go in there and be and play games with your kids.
And I know that we've talked about it before. I've run games for kids at conventions, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. But the most important thing is when you're running games for kids, you want to make sure they're having fun. So like right. Saul always puts in this thing. When you get to a town, he says, what do you want to do? And Alan loves to go fishing. And I never understood where Saul got this from, but somehow I guess in one of the encounters, he asked Alan, what do you want to do? And Alan goes, I want to go fishing. So after that, for years, we would get to a town or outside of a town.
Or just camping.
And Alan would always want to go fishing. So there would be this conversation for like 15 minutes during the game about fishing. And it was like, it became this thing where, and when he was doing fishing, Ian wanted to do something and Augustine wanted to do something. And they all had the little things they wanted to do. And it made it part of the adventure for them and a lot of fun. So I took that into consideration when I run games for kids that I don't know. You got to give them the opportunity to do something. If they want to ride their horse up and down the street, that is excellent because that gives them a chance to tell you what they want to do and be able to do it. So that makes the game a lot of fun for kids.
Right. I think kids definitely, you need to be able to ask them in adventure, okay, what are you going to do in this situation? Or what are you doing now? You know, and make sure that you talk to every kid at your table and let them role play, let them come up with ideas that they need, that they could come up with to either further the game or do something frivolous, like ride up and down the street on a horse. I mean, she was just, that girl was really happy to be a role playing riding her horse up and down the main street of the village. So I think kids really need to be able to make decisions, right? That's an important part of role playing, is making decisions, and it's very important when you present a situation and the kids are able to make a decision, because I think that, you know, that is really what kids see grown ups doing, and they don't usually have a decision,
a chance to make those decisions.
Right. So here you are. You can make a decision, and just make sure that that you go around the table and give them an opportunity to play.
And every once in a while, you will do that. You'll go around the table and you'll ask each person what they want to do. What are you going to do in this situation? And sometimes they'll just look at you, and then you can give them a couple choices or different things like that.
Right.
Or you can say, you think about it, I'm going to move on to the next person.
Right.
And then the most important thing to remember when you're running an adventure for kids is to make it fun.
Right.
So kids like a lot of action. They have, their attention spans are short. I know adults' attention spans are short also, but kids, you really want to keep the flow going.
Right.
So if you're playing, depending on how many kids there are, sometimes you might need to adjust the rules a little bit for combat and stuff like that. And if you have a lot of kids, you probably want someone helping you with the combat situations and stuff like that, because you just want to go and you want to make it easy, especially if they're little. You let them roll the dice and you tell them if they're rolling a 20-sided dice, if you roll over a 10, you're going to make it. If you roll under a 5, you're not. And you can always fudge your numbers. You can do things just so that they're having fun, because they really enjoy firing their bows and arrows.
Right.
They like doing things. And they also like to talk to the creatures that they encounter. So one of the things I found with running adventures for kids, they like pictures. They like visual effects. And if you take the time to print out pictures, color pictures, and put them on colored paper and pass it around the table so they can see what they're dealing with, that helps them a lot, because they're kids and this is a new world for them. One of the adventures I ran, I wrote it for the boys, but then a bunch of girls played in the game and they changed it completely. The creatures that I thought were going to be bad guy creatures turned out to be their friends and helped them fight the bad guys because the girls wanted to go up and talk to them. They were pseudo dragons, and they were little, you know, these little dragon like creatures, but they weren't really dragons.
Right.
Hence the name. But the girls go, "Oh, they're so cute. Let's go talk to them." And Augustine's like looking at me going, "They want to talk to them?
Yeah. Why do they want to talk to my experience, you know, points, right?" So that's hilarious. And that's true, right? Girls, boys and girls might have a different perspective on how to deal with certain situations. You know, they say that girls mature faster than boys. I wouldn't know because I don't have a girl. But it seems like, you know, things that I read point to that idea. And so you're going to have different ways of dealing with stuff.
So Saul worked really hard with the boys to get them to talk to things before they killed them. Well, with the girls, you didn't have to do that.
Right.
So yeah. It's a very interesting dynamic. And I'm not saying that all boys are bloodthirsty creatures, but the ones that we know have been. And when we've added other boys into the mix that we didn't know, and we played with a couple of them, they've been the same way.
Yeah.
But when you add in little sisters that want to play with them, then it changes the adventure a little bit, because all of the boys, and I know that they're young still, but when a girl comes to the table, they do listen to her. They do see what she says, and they will follow her to do whatever she wants to do, or they'll let her do it. I don't know. Sometimes the look on Augustine's face is they're indulging her, but the look on Alan's face is this is very interesting. And Ian loves the idea of doing things outside of the box. So when you add in different kids, and they're all different, Saul's run a Gamma World game for kids at conventions, and I think they had a blast because they got to choose different things to do. And so there's all of these things that come together when you're playing with kids that you need to make sure you are basically just making sure that each kid at the table is having fun.
Right.
And sometimes they'll be intermixed with adults, so they'll help you sometimes with that.
Yeah, so that Gamma World game was I don't know what edition it was. It was the latest edition. And, I kind of stripped away a lot of the rules. Not a lot of the rules, but just to make it a convention game. It was for kids. So the one thing is that I talked about was decisions, right? So one thing I did is I made them all teenagers, right? The mutants were all teenagers. And the decisions, there were a lot of decisions to be made. They had complete control of how they wanted to deal with the situation. Basically, these large mutated turkeys that the village depended on for their winter food store or whatever you call it, supplies, had gone missing. So they were sent out to figure out what happened to them. So they're out in the out in the world, and they many times there was a decision to go, you know, A or B, and so they really liked that, right? I didn't tell them they had to go to a certain spot and then stuff like that. They were actually very excited, and they would discuss it with each other. And I did have a girl, and so she was kind of quiet though. She was a little sister of a boy, Connor, and she real cute though. And so, but what's funny was at one point, you know, they were kind of ignoring her a little bit. Because it was the little brother's little sister's syndrome, I guess. And then everybody, like all the boys, turned around and looked at her and go, "Oh, okay." You know, because she goes, "I want to do this," and she was really, you know, loud and putting her foot down.
She had to be, yes, with all those boys. Yes.
So, and it was neat. It was good to see, for her finally assert herself. Right, I thought it was really neat.
And I think that's you made an important point in there, that kids, they don't want to play adults. They want to play teenagers because they're kids, and they want to play teenagers, and teenagers don't want to play old people. They want to play young people or teenagers, right, or young adults. So,
right. So I'm not, a kid is not going to want to play a 50-year-old Call of Cthulhu investigator. So like a lot of my adventures, a lot of the NPC, the players, characters are just a generation next to my intended audience. So I was in a teen room. I was running for a teen. It was listed under teens, and a lot of the characters were like young people right out of college kind of thing. So I think that helps out because everybody just wants to be a little bit older until you hit a certain age, and then
you want to be a little bit younger.
Yeah, then you wish you were back in high school or back in, you know, third grade or something.
But everybody can identify playing with a teenager, even right, whether you're a teenager or not. Right. So that's it.
For me, that's a buy-in for kids is to play a child or a character that's just a little bit older than them, you know, maybe a generation. Something like if you're a middle schooler, you know, you want to be in high school, and then when you're high school, you want to be in college, and then after you're 30, you don't want to get any older than that. So kids, I think definitely you want to make them, give them decisions. You want to be show them some visual aids. That really does help. And as far as description, I think you can really go over the top in descriptions. You know, kids love, you know, a lot of detail about what's going on. In my Gamma World game, the mutated turkeys, I call them gobble gobbles, and I described how regal they looked, right? Because I kind of imagined like a really majestic looking turkey. And then that's
hard to imagine.
They were huge, right? They were like 6 feet tall, you know. So then on the other side, but they were really dumb, right, and really docile. And on the other side, there were these rats that had actually stolen them and were going to experiment on them, because a rat king found this machine that would do stuff. And even though he had no idea what it did, you know, he enjoyed causing these big turkeys problems and pain. And so. When the kids found that, you know, what was going on, they really learned to hate these rats, right? And I described the rats as disgusting, and, you know, with boils on their faces and pus coming out. And they're like, ooh, that's gross. But they were laughing at the same time. So, they really like descriptive descriptions, right?
That's what I was saying with the visual aids. Right. Kids love to be able to see what they're going to fight or what they're going to talk to. And any kind of description is good for them. It's good for adults too, but right, especially for kids, you want to make sure you play that up.
So when you're running with kids, you definitely have to showcase each kid, right? You know, if they have an idea, you positively reinforce that. Oh, that's a great idea. You might even lie. You say, oh, I didn't think about that. That's a great idea. And that really makes a kid feel special, right? They're like, wow, the GM didn't even, an adult GM didn't even know, you know, they didn't come up with this. So, you know, I'm on, you know.
And sometimes it actually happens. You don't necessarily have to lie, because kids come up with all kinds of ideas.
But just, you know, reward their thinking, right? Showcase their ideas, showcase that the fact that they're coming up with ideas that really will impact the game. And that really ramps up the fun level, and it really gives, you know, and like I said, it gives them reasserts their ability to make decisions, and they make them feel better about making those kind of decisions, or any decision, right? And making a decision and being able to keep with that and follow that decision to wherever that
to the conclusion of it.
Yes.
Most important is that you need to remember that everybody's in the spotlight in a kid's game, right. Just like in an adult game. You right. want to give every character a chance to play.
But more so, I think, in a kid's game.
Yes. And also, their attention spans may not be as long as adults. So you want to keep it flowing.
Right.
And I'm sure we'll talk about playing with kids more, because that's what we do. Subject.
Yes, we do that. But like I said, just like you would with adults, spotlighting their characters, with kids, it's even more important, I think, because adults can reason out, well, you know, my character, you know, isn't involved in this situation very, very much. So I understand why, you know, I may not be playing a big part in this part of the adventure. Where kids, it's, you know, they may not think that way. They may not be that mature to think about other kids that way. You know, oh, that, you know, that's that other kid's spotlight. That's their turn, and not mine. But you really have to be able to go to each kid and say, okay, what are you gonna do? And give me your ideas and work with their ideas. And I think it really makes them feel better. I think it really, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it after the game. They're all smiling and you know, like Jolene says, they want to take the character. The sheet.
They did take the character. They so, love to take the character sheets. Always make sure you let them take them, because that's like, especially for a young kid, it's important that they get to, then they're going to want to come back and play again.
Like a little memento of what happened. Yeah.
So you might want to think about that if you're going to run a game for kids. Get some figures that you want to, that they can take. Maybe get some plastic figures, something right. that, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So the most important thing, I think, is when you're playing tabletop role-playing games with kids, you really want to give them a chance to have as much fun as possible.
Right.
So they're going to want to play again.
Yes.
And if you want to keep
the hobby growing,
you're going to understand this, that you want it to be fun for them, and that's the most important thing.
Right.
Because you want it to be fun for adults, but you definitely want it to be fun for kids.
Yes. So that's it. I think that we covered
that subject. So we'll talk to you next time. Have a great day.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to, if you want systems that are specifically for running kids, I came up with a quick list. There's Hero Kids, Little Wizards, Thank You No Evil, and Fairy Tales, spelled F-A-E-R-Y-S. Almost all of those are available through a PDF at DriveThruRPG, and some of them are actually in print. They're all geared for children. The rules are simple. Some of them are more storytelling orientated than crunchiness, which is always good with very small children. So if you're worried about Pathfinder or D&D being too high level or too highbrow or whatever, or over the head of the child, these games are specifically tailored for kids. And I've owned a few of them, and I read through them, and they really are nice little systems that are just as good role-playing system as you can get for kids to play in.
So I suggest you go out, get a game, make up an adventure, and find some kids to play with.
Yes.
Especially if you have kids, that'll
definitely
make, you'll have fun, and they'll have fun, and everybody will learn something.
So what's on tap for next week, Jolene? Oh, how to be a good player?
How to be a good role player?
Yes.
Okay, I guess we can talk about that.
All right, well, this is Gaming Perspectives with Saul.
And Jolene.
And you guys have a good day.